Patsy, I've been thinking. There's only one thing wrong with our relationship. You always win. Tonight, that changes.
You haven't beaten me yet, Joker.
I know. Isn't the anticipation just killing you?
Ain't you gonna take his mask off and find out who he is?
And reduce my primal enemy to a mere man? Harley, my dear, I'm so disappointed in you. Where's the fun in that?
And be a goody-two-shoes till the end of your days. You can listen to them say crime never pays. You can follow every law and fear the big black bat. But why would you want to? Ha, where's the fun in that? Where's the fun in that? So smile, darn your smile.
Welcome to an Outcast Podcast bonus Friday the 13th episode of Batman Endgame Parts 1 to 4. But be warned that this podcast will be containing detailed plot spoilers and salty language. So, listener discretion is advised.
That's why I strive to eradicate gloom. It's from that itch I made the switch and chose my nom de plume. The Joker! There's the fun in that. There's the fun in that. So smile, darn you, smile. Everybody ought to laugh. And so with glee, I do decree, just smile, darn you, smile. So when living gets a little rough and you find it hard to cope, I'm the gent with just the stuff to fill you full of hope. Just smile, darn you, smile. Everybody needs a clown. Now with one stroke, the final joke. Just smile, darn you, smile, darn you, smile. Everybody loves to grin. Follow my lead, recite my creed and smile.
Oh, I love it. Welcome to another episode of Hunnic Outcast, a very special Friday the 13th episode, no less. Hunnic Outcast here, never question it ever. But before we begin said festivities, please, 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 head over to geekcastradio.com. They're holding a donation drive right now. They're trying to reach their goal of $1,000. So far, I've seen $51 has been donated. I do want to thank you, the listeners. I've also been donating as well. But please head over to geekcastradio.com to show your support for the website. It's to help costs and other delights. Also, when you're at geekcastradio.com, please check out all their wonderful podcast shows. There's the main feed, geekcastradio.com. Of course, there's Altered Geek. There is Movie Week in Review, Off the Cuff, Pixels in the Animation, Remote Control, Tooncast Beyond, the Telecast, Talking in Circles. Of course, I've mentioned the Poll Bag, where I was a recent guest on said show. And, of course, Wars. And, of course, there's also another show, Weekend at the Movies. And please check out all the wonderful syndicated shows that are at geekcastradio.com. What's on Joe's Mind, Star Joe's, Punisher Body Count, Mark Who's 42 Whoverse, Geek Scholar Movie News, my podcast, of course, Hunnic Outcast, Turtle Flakes, Smeared Ink, and In Session Film. They are all wonderful shows. Please show your support to the GeekCastRadioNetwork.com. And, of course, their second annual GeekCast Radio Network Awards. You can go on the website and submit your ballots for, of course, some of the categories of partner Geekcast Radio Network shows, and of course TVs, movies, weekends, and film. Please, please, please check out the second annual Geekcast Radio Network.com award show. Now then, tonight's topic, and since this is April, the April Fool's show, I might add. The April Fool's show will be dedicated to the Clown Prince of Crime, the Joker, which I can't wait for. But until then, Friday the 13th, I mean, last year I had a podcast discussion on the Emperor Joker storyline. As I said last year, unfortunately, that podcast deleted due to a virus, and I also changed RSS feeds. So I will be re-recording the Emperor Joker discussion podcast November 13th, 2015, because that's when Friday the 13th shows up again. For February 13th, 2015, I'm just going to be discussing parts 1 to 4 of the Endgame storyline. 5 and 6 are not out yet. I believe it's a 6-part series, so I will continue my thoughts for parts 5 and 6, as well as the re-recorded discussion of Emperor Joker this November 13th, which will be another Friday the 13th, 2015. So please check out part 2, as I just said 5 seconds ago. So tonight I'm going to be discussing parts 1 to 4 of Endgame. Why, you may ask? Well, this is written by Scott Snyder. Now, of course, he is responsible for Court of Owls, for DC New 52, and of course, let's not forget Death of the Family. Now, the major reason why I feel this is a Friday the 13th episode is because it is bad luck for Batman. Joker has used this Joker toxin to turn the Justice League, or I should call them the Jokerist League, best way to pronounce it, against Batman. And the way that part 4 ends right now, that this is issue number 35 I'm looking at right now, where you have a Green Lantern-esque Fisk holding Batman, and Flash, Wonder Woman, and Aquaman, and Superman, and Cyborg are trying to attack Batman, and he's trying to fight himself free. This is part 1, where it is the best way to describe a sequel to Death of the Family. There's much controversy right now with Endgame Part 2, which should be issue 38, I believe, or 39, where we apparently will get Joker's origin. Now, the only thing I've assumed is that Joker is to DC Comics what Wolverine or Deadpool is to the Marvel Universe, where Joker does have healing abilities, and I don't know if he's immortal per se, but he has been around for a long time. And one of my hypotheses is that Joker, since he's a chemist, that he has worked on some sort of self-healing chemical. It's the only thing I can think of. I don't think he's a mutant so much. I think that he's just a chemist and did confront Ra's al Ghul when he was a possible member of the League of Shadows and knows about the Lazarus Pit. It's all little hypotheses I've always had, mainly because of the animated series. Now, I understand because of standards and practices, it always had to look like a cliffhanger where you think Joker's dead, but he's not. But the more I think about it, since Joker's always dabbled in chemicals, is it a Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde ordeal, or did Joker, like Ra's, find the Fountain of Youth, or, you know, whatever the case may be, because Joker has cheated death one too many times, and the way that he's cheated death is always... So, whether or not Joker may be immortal, or may not be immortal, or may have healing powers, or not, or whatever the case may be, or as he said, if I want to have a past, it's best that it's multiple choice. It's all speculation. But whatever the case may be, I am impressed with the first 4 issues so far. And I was impressed with Death of the Family. I have read Court of Owls and City of Owls, and I'll go back and read them. They've already been discussed over at Geekcast Radio, The Pullbag, by the way. I was not guested on that show. I did guest on the Death of the Family, and I did ask TFG1 Mike if he would be discussing Endgame, but here's where it gets complicated, because with the New 52, it's also, you have to read Batman Eternal, I think, before you get into Endgame. I really, you know, the problem is with the DC Comics New 52 right now is that there's Detective Comics, and there's Batman, and there's Batman and Robin, and there's Batman Eternal, and Manor, and it's all over the place. That the only reason why I decided to pick up Endgame is because, it is the continuation of Death of the Family, and that's the only thing I'm concerned about. So I'm just going to go into a little bit of history right now before we start, say, mid-event. As I said, it was written by Scott Snyder. Also, James, if I pronounce his name correctly, Tynion IV. Of course, Batman Eternal, he's written Death of Wolverine, and Night of the Owls, and Nightwing from the New 52. And the cover is Greg Capullo, who I am familiar with, and it is great artwork, as I've said. So I'm just going to gather a few more notes, and I'm going to start to discuss issues 1 through 4.
Great about you, Puddin'. You really put the fun in funeral.
Dear friends, today is the day the clown cried. And he cries not for the passing of one man, but for the death of a dream. The dream that he would someday taste the ultimate victory over his hated enemy. For it was the Batman who made me the happy soul I am today. How I agonized over the perfect way to thank him for that. Perhaps with a cyanide pie in the face. Or an exploding whoopee cushion playfully planted in the Batmobile. But those dreams were dashed by the weaselly little gunsel sitting there in our midst. The cowardly, insignificant Garneth who probably got lucky when Batman slipped on the slime trail this loser left behind him. This mound of diseased hyena filth who's not fit to lick the dirt from my spats! But I digress. The time for sorrow has passed. It's time to look ahead to a future filled with smiles. And I'll be smiling again just as soon as we take that man there and slap him in that box there and roll it into that vat of acid there.
And we are back. So let's go into a little more history in regards to Batman Endgame and the entire point of this series, because so far there are 4 issues. This will be a 6-issue comic book series. It did start in early 2014. It is set after the events of Batman Eternal, something, as I said, I have not read as this recording, but it is a continuation, as I said, of Joker's disappearance 2 years ago. Well, actually, now it's 2.5 years ago of the Death of the Family story arc. The history, of course, deals with writer Scott Snyder with his artist Greg Capullo, which has started with Batman number 35. This is a story arc, of course, that will deal with Joker and Batman. Also reveals his the character return to the comics since Death of the Family. Apparently, this will be a concluding chapter of the Joker that was apparently set up in Zero Year. Again, Zero Year is something I did not... there is a possible origin for the Joker that was, you know, will continue with Death of the Family. Highlighting now Joker, finally, how Joker initially found meaning in his relationship with Batman. Endgame will also detail how Joker reacts to Batman's perceived betrayal of their dynamic. Snyder quoting, "So this is really sort of the Joker saying, I once found meaning in our relationship, and your relationship to your rogues. Now I think you betrayed that, and it's time for me to just burn everything down. So I guess that's where I'm coming from with this, end quote. It's pretty much supposed to be a bond between Joker and Batman is now broken. Joker will now turn all of Batman's closest friends against him, and his closest friends right now seem to be the Justice League. This, of course, will celebrate the 75th anniversary of the Batman and the Joker debut, and, of course, is designed as a transitional story that will alter the status quo of Batman universe so Snyder and Capullo can explore new elements afterwards. Apparently, Snyder also has been describing coming up with original ways for the human Batman to take on the superhuman Justice League can be difficult. I don't want to know. After all, Batman going one-on-one against Superman, that is kind of challenging, even though Batman has always kept, you know, kryptonite in his utility belt. But then, of course, you got Cyborg, Flash, Wonder Woman. And yet, for those of you who did see the direct-to-DVD movie Justice League Doom, we all know that Batman kept a database of the Justice League's weaknesses in the back computer in case they ever went rogue. And, of course, I believe there was the graphic novel Tower of Babel, but I guess that's not going to follow that continuity. He also chose to focus on Batman using means to incapacitate the members instead of neutralizing them completely to avoid hurting his closest friends outside of his members of the Bat family. Well, that of course makes sense. I mean, we have seen Bruce incapacitate the Bat family in Death of the Family after, towards the end of Death of the Family, how Joker was able to capture Nightwing, Red Robin, Damian Wayne Robin, and Batgirl, and Alfred, and gas them, and make them turn on each other. So we know how Batman is able to, you know, counteract that way without hurting or resorting to killing. Snyder and Capullo discussed the major points of each issue before Snyder began writing his script, so that Capullo can provide input on how to convey the action scenes. In one instance, he suggested conveying the Flash's speed by having him tear away a piece of Batman's armor, and the rest of the action occurring within the time span it takes for the piece to fall to the ground. Well, again, Flash's speed, I have not read many Flash comics. I still haven't seen the CW show, The Flash. I heard it's supposed to be a lot better than Arrow, but I will finally sit down and watch Flash and Arrow. I've seen Flash in the Justice League cartoon back in 2002, so we pretty much know what Flash can and can't do. And of course, if you did watch the Justice League or Justice League Unlimited cartoons back in 2004-06, I do remember Flash going so quickly. I remember Flash going so fast that he was able to separate Brainiac from Lex Luthor when Brainiac and Luthor... But let's go into the plot for a little bit right now. Following a fear chemical attack by Scarecrow, which, you know, Batman recovers in his new base of operations, a safe house seized from the Court of Owls. Again, I gotta go back and read the Court of Owls storyline. Suddenly, Batman is attacked by Wonder Woman, who is determined to kill him. Batman instructs his butler, Alfred, to intact plan Finner, a powerful robotic armor designed by Batman to battle with the entire Justice League. Flanked by a gas attack that evacuates Gotham's citizens from the area, he manages to subdue Wonder Woman, the Flash, and Aquaman. Of course, jump in and try to aid Wonder Woman, but the Flash and Aquaman try to aid Wonder Woman, but Batman is then attacked by Superman and thrown into the Gotham Royal Theater, where Batman asks who has manipulated the League into killing Batman. Superman's mouth stretches into a wide grin, and he and the rest of the Justice League members confront Batman, and they begin to laugh. And that pretty much ends issue with two. Batman battles the merciless Superman, finally subduing him with kryptonite-laced gum. The League is revealed to be infected with a more powerful strain of Joker toxin, customizes each individual. Batman visits the Joker's former cell at the abandoned Arkham Asylum, where he meets with Eric Border, orderly at the new Arkham Manor, which, of course, you know, I guess this is supposed to transition into the Arkham Manor storyline as well. Border states that he has only tried to help the city and Batman since arriving there. But he sees now that Batman cannot be helped. Batman is locked in Joker's cell while Border removes his makeup to reveal himself to be the Joker, having been using muscle relaxants and drugs to mask his appearance. The Joker confesses he now finds Batman boring following their final encounter, and now intends to bring their relationship to a permanent end. Batman is incapacitated, paralytic gas, as the Joker announces that he will be left helpless, as his pain will commence, and Joker's plan will truly begin. Ending issue 2. On to 3. Batman eventually recovers from his paralysis, to find that the Joker has released an incurable airborne pathogen throughout Gotham, transmitted by laughter that makes the victim look like the Joker, and turns feelings of love into violent hatred, triggering mass chaos. Batman travels to Gotham Presbyterian Hospital to research the first recorded infection, but he finds an infected Joe Chill, the man who murdered Batman's parents, and a recreation of the night Batman's parents died, revealing the Joker knows his identity. Meanwhile, Gordon researches the hospital and finds images appearing to be the Joker, taken decades before the Joker's first encounter with Batman. The Joker attacks Gordon, who responds by shooting the Joker dead. When Gordon phones Batman to relay the news, the Joker rises up and incapacitates. As Batman screams for Gordon, the Joker picks up the phone and responds, "Hello, Bruce." Ending issue 3. And finally, 4. Batman finds Gordon dying, with an axe lodged in his chest. Gordon is revealed to be infected, and he suddenly attacks Batman, but is subdued by Alfred's daughter, Julia, with Nightwing's aid. Batman deduces that the Joker is using a serum capable of healing him from fatal damage, and the virus contained the serum's complete inverse. They also discover that Paul Dekker, a crazed genius, Generative Technologies, was released into Border's custody a year earlier. Batman confronts Dekker, who reveals that he was only able to develop the healing serum and virus using a rare natural component found in the Joker's spine. Dekker believes that Joker could very well be immortal. He injects himself with the serum given to him by the Joker, believing that it will make him immortal, but it kills him. Julia informs Batman that a search he has revealed images of the Joker tracing back through centuries of Gotham's history, and that if a cure to the virus is not found, the infected will die within 24 hours. Desperate, Batman turns to the Court of Owls for aid. And of course, it ends with Batman facing the court and saying, "Let's discuss history." And that's pretty much all 4 issues of Endgame. So, delving into the panels, of course, and I want to discuss, I do love, so delving into the panels of issue 1. Since Batman is still suffering from Scarecrow's fear toxin, we see Batman in the future and some sort of attacking and killing, futuristic members of Justice League, and we see an aging Alfred with an eye patch, Batman waking up from his coma dream, and of course, you know, discussing Scarecrow's fear toxin. While Batman is at the safe house, Wonder Woman just bashes through the screen. Bruce, he's not in his Batman armor, and Wonder Woman has her sword, and she's ready to kill Batman, and then all of a sudden, as I said, we have the Bat-Robot trying to take out Wonder Woman, and it is a bloody battle. I mean, if you look at the images, Wonder Woman means business as she's taking her sword and trying to bust through the armor. And this is probably the best design I've seen of this Wonder Woman. It is still a two-piece. Actually, no, it's a one-piece bikini. The bottoms are black and with, you know, two white stars, and the top it's red and silver. But it's not the old-school Wonder Woman design, and her black boots are now, I thought they were red originally. Well, now they're black boots. Long flowing hair. She's definitely more Amazon. She has a sword. It's a better look, I feel, for Wonder Woman. And I do love the design of this Batbot. The robot's a lot better than the Batbot in the Batman series of 05. Flash, of course, comes in. He has a typical Flash design, which is not too bad. You know, it's present-day Flash design. And Aquaman, he doesn't look like the Aquaman from the Justice League cartoon series. He no longer has his beard. He's not as ripped as a haircut. But Aquaman looks, you know, the design on him looks decent. But I love the images, of course, where Superman comes down and you can see the eyes glowing red like there's something not right. And the best part is that gigantic grin that he has, that toothy Joker grin, is definitely something out of nightmares. Now, also is a short story, The Pale Man. I did not go into too much detail reading. It's only a few pages. It's about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 pages. From what I see in my digital comic. I tried to read it. My only assumption is that you have inmates that broke out of Arkham Asylum and they're trying to come to terms on their experiences with Joker and what they think Joker's story is. It feels something out of Tales from the Crypt. I tried to get into the story. It just wasn't doing anything for me. It's not a bad story. It's just nothing too memorable for me. It has some great designs. I do like how Humpty Dumpty look. It does, as I said, it feels very Tales from the Crypt and Vault of Horror, but I can't really give The Pale Man too much of a review. I only read a few panels of it, you know, maybe like a page and a half. Just couldn't get into it. So I'm going to take a quick break and I'll discuss my thoughts of issues 2, 3, and 4 right after this.
Emergency. Batman speaking. Warning all of you to brace yourselves for big news.
The biggest.
Tell them, Robin.
Holy superlatives, Batman! It's really exciting.
Greetings, citizens. Join me, your old bat chum, John S. Drew, on my journey to discover what it is I love about the classic 1966 Batman television series on the Batcave podcast. Each episode, I'm joined by a guest host as we review the classic television series. There's a new episode every 2 weeks, same bat time, same bat channel, on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, or at thebatcavepodcast.com.
Holy memoranda, folks! Make a note not to miss it.
Good thinking, Robin.
Hello, geeks. Want a podcast that covers a vast array of topics with no rhyme or reason? Then check out Altered Geek Unlimited, where the topics fly more or less off the cuff. We cover media news, TV, our favorite geek products, and of course, your feedback. So get altered, get geeky with the Altered Geeks every Friday on the Geekcast Radio Network.
Are you looking for a weekly dose of gaming news and retro? Then check out Off the Cuff, available Fridays on Geekcast Radio Network from the producers of XRG. New name, same.
Hi, my name is Dr. Andrea Littamendi, clinical psychologist.
And I'm Brian Ward, nerd. And we want to invite you to listen to our new podcast, The Arkham Sessions.
It's a podcast dedicated to the fun
and geeky
analysis of Batman the Animated Series, episode by episode.
We pay tribute to the writers and the stories of the animated series,
while also exploring the very real psychology behind Gotham's rogues.
And maybe even its heroes. All of this and more
each week
on The Arkham Sessions
at underthemaskonline.com.
Now onto my thoughts with issue 2 of Endgame. Love the cover, of course. It's a cover of pure nightmare juice. We have Superman that, of course, is affected by the Joker toxin, and it's just like a pale white Superman, and his are smeared in blood, and blood is dripping down his chin, and his eyes are Blood Red. It's a great, great cover by Capullo. Now, as I said, this one's also dark. It does deal with Batman trying to fight off members of the Justice League, and here, when he's fighting off Superman in the sewers, you just get images of red. It's just white and red. And it's not so much Superman as Bizarro, but it does at times, you know, different images, it does look like Bizarro, even though it is Joker or Superman. We, of course, get the flashbacks and the back computer of, you know, the old Joker, how his face was ripped off from Death of the Family. Joker, of course, talking to get back into the old Arkham Manor and being locked in Joker's cell. But you can tell the muscle relaxants, and you can tell with the way the orderly looks, it's definitely talking to the orderly Eric, that it is Joker. And one of the things that I love is that Joker does confess to his names. Eric, which he says comes from E, which is the Proto-Norse meaning internal, and Rikus, which is Gothic meaning prince, and then he goes, and border, is a homophone for borderer, which is an absolute word for, and then Batman, of course, goes, jester, and then he whispers, my god. And the fly that we saw at the end of Death of the Family, we see the fly again, buzzing around, and it has like this hee-hee sound, and of course we see the brand new Joker with his face and his hair slicked back, and Joker's face is healed, and you know, he asks if he misses him, and Joker has of course locked Batman in Joker's old cell and has released the paralytic gas. Batman can barely speak, and Batman of course sees that Joker has still kept his old face that was ripped off, and Joker explained how he was able to, you know, heal himself due to muscle relaxants and the new toxin, and they of course play off each other as usual, this time Batman being in Joker's old cell, and we still see that fly that was in Death of the Family, and I just love how the fly is just flying around, and he's flying around Joker's gun that has the bang flag. Takes out the gun with the bang flag. It starts to close in on the audience as the fly is flying around from the word blam. And from behind the fly, I guess, like, this red string is coming out of his behind. But I have to say, the images of Joker and Batman going back and forth each other while Batman is, you know, incapacitated by the paralytic gas, and Joker telling Batman what his next steps are to getting revenge on Batman, it is creepy. I mean, this is probably the best image of Joker that I could see for the 21st century. I am impressed. And even when Joker takes out his old face that was ripped off, you still see, like, he's, you know, you still see the rotting eye sockets, you see the rotting skin, and Joker, of course, which I love, he takes his old face that was ripped off, and he puts it over his new face for a minute, and he takes two fingers in the mouth, and he pulls it down like a frown. He starts mocking Batman with it, so just how Joker took his ripped off face from Death of the Family and was using it as a mask to taunt Damian Wayne. It is a callback where, you know, Joker's using his ripped off face as a mask to put over his real face once again, and it's, again, one of the best images I've seen in issue 2. So, all in all, impressed with the series, and we'll move on to issue 3 right after this.
Coming through. Excuse me. Sorry about that. Oops. My bad. Excuse me.
I've murdered, by letting you live.
I never kept count.
I did.
I know. And I love you for it. It's finally here, isn't it? The moment we both dreamed about. Oh, don't tell me you're gonna fall asleep before we finish. You have gotten old, haven't you? Not quite how I imagined it, but we can still end on a high note.
You're in trouble now. Go ahead. Say this has never happened to you before.
Shut up.
Make me. Come on, finish me. Doesn't matter. I win. I made you lose control. And they'll kill you for it. See you in hell.
Now on to issue... Oh, actually, before we go on to issue 3... We still have a continuation from the Pale Man, as we have inmates from Arkham, giving their thoughts about what's going on with Joker and how he's affected their lives in one way or another. Again, I'm not really getting into the 4 or 5 panel stories. Let's see, this one's also one. It's called Saved, and it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 8 pages again. These final 8 pages, this other story, you know, with the Pale Man, I did my best to get into it and read it. I don't want to take anything away from writer James Tynion IV. It didn't take anything away, and I like what the inmates think that the Joker is or what's going on. One of them thinks that when Joker rips off his face, he's actually a cyborg. I mean, it's okay, it's adequate, it's just not doing anything for me, so I really can't get into the, you know, 8-page story Saved. I'm sure somebody can save it, but didn't work for me so much. Now we go into issue number 37, part 3 of Endgame, and this is, you know, Joker again, the new face, and him holding his old ripped off face, and he's manipulating to look like it's frowning. And Joker, of course, you know, as mentioned, has released a toxin that will turn people into Jokers, and if they're not cured within 24 hours, they will, of course, die. And Gordon is doing his best again to fight off the Mad Jokers. It's almost like something out of Night of the Living Dead in a way, as Gordon has barricaded himself in his apartment, and we just see images of these Joker zombie type of Gotham citizens tearing up the town, laughing like crazy, and Batman trying to find a way to get to Gordon. Of course, while Gordon is barricading himself in this house, he notices something in his closet, and we see a purple boxing glove knock Gordon out, and of course we know that it is Joker, and of course we see Joe Chill has also been affected by the Joker toxin. This is also an EC comic scary image, to see Joe Chill infected by the toxin, just him sitting up with a giant grin on his face. It's disturbing. Even though I've mentioned there is a story where Joe Chill is a much older man, and Batman has confronted him, and Batman revealed his identity to Joe Chill, but, you know, I've discussed that story on the Pullback 75 Years of Batman, so we'll move on from there. And, of course, Batman going back to Crime Alley and, you know, witnessing another family that's going to be gunned down. Batman trying to stop it, so it is quite disturbing. And we're back at Gordon's apartment where Joker and Gordon are playing off each other. As always, Joker comes out from behind the bed, and what could be scarier than Joker coming under the bed? And he sets Gordon's apartment on fire. There is a family that comes out of a theater in Crime Alley. I'm not too sure, though, if this is part of Scarecrow's fear toxin or Joker's toxin. I'm not too sure. But a family does come out of the Crime Alley theater, seeing Zorro, no less. And Joe Chill is infected by the Joker toxin, and Joe Chill is laughing uncontrollably, and we can see Batman's thought balloon saying, you know, like, not again, I can't let this happen again. And Joe Chill is even saying out loud, no, not again, not again. Batman's trying to get them to move or do something, and we go back to, you know, Gordon and Joker at Gordon's apartment, where Joker has set Gordon's apartment ablaze, and Joker's about to take an axe, and Gordon has his gun, and of course shoots Joker. But we see all these panels of Batman able to stop the Joker Joe Chill. He's able to stop the Joker Joe Chill from murdering this new family, and he's able to, you know, prevent what happened to his parents in Crime Alley. Batman's able to prevent a family from being murdered. However, there's an army of Joker zombies about ready to take down this family, and turns out that this kid's parents have turned into Jokers, but Batman is able to save this kid. Going back to the panels dealing with Batman saving this kid's parents from being gunned down by Joker Joe Chill, we see like these split panels where it's red and blue. Like, for the blue it's Batman, and the red it's Joker. So I do like how the images are split. The panels are split into these small rectangular images. Like, we'll see the blue of Batman going to stop this, the Joker Joe Chill. We'll go to the red where Joker has set Gordon's apartment ablaze, and he's taking an axe and he's destroying Gordon's apartment. And then we go to the blue where the Joker Joe Chill is about to gun down this family in Crime Alley. Then we go to the red and we see how Gordon has picked up a gun, he's about to shoot Joker, and Joker's got an axe, and he's starting to come at Gordon. He's about to chop Gordon down to size. Then we see these two close-up images split, and we see on the left side, it's Gordon's, he's fearless, and then we see with the blue with Joe Chill, he's a Joker Joe Chill, and he has fear, and he doesn't know what he's really doing. He doesn't know if he wants to gun down this family, because he's even saying to himself he doesn't want to do what he did to Bruce Wayne's parents. So, of course, we go to the blue panel. Batman is able to jump in the way and stop the bullet. We go to the red panel, and Joker's about ready to axe down. And then finally, we have it split down with the left side and the right side. And there's a gun in the middle, and we see the gun goes off for both Chill and Gordon. And we see in the blue panel, it's hit Batman's armor. And in the red panel, it's hit Gordon, I guess, in his tie, but I'm assuming Gordon has a bulletproof vest. And in the blue panel, Batman has fallen down, but in the red panel, Joker has fallen down from the bullet, and he has, like, this look of self-satisfaction away, like, he's still one and away. And even though Batman has stopped Joe Chill, as I've said, the joke is this boy's parents are infected by Joker toxin, but Batman was still able to save the boy, and I'm sure he's going to be able to save this kid's parents because they're just infected by toxin, and he's going to at least try to find some sort of cure. And as I've said before, Gordon was able to contact Batman on his cell phone and claim that he shot Joker dead, and we can see the body of Joker with a giant smile on his face, grinning, with the axe far away from Joker. But as Gordon is saying that, like, it's bleak and everything, we finally kill Joker. In any horror movie, Joker starts to stand up from behind. Gordon will not turn around. And, yeah, that's pretty much it. We know Batman is on the other, you know, side of the phone trying to contact Jim, and, well, Joker picks up the phone and goes, "Hello, Bruce." And that pretty much ends issue 3. Of course, we have that other, you know, the final 8-page story. And this one, it's called The First Laugh. And again, it's inmates, you know, meeting with the Joker the first time and trying to figure him out. Sorry, once again, could not get into it. So, then we go into the 4th issue right now, which, of course, is number 38 for Batman. We're on the cover. Batman is kneeling down, and he picks up these 2 severed hands saying love and hate. Love on the left and hate on the right, which I guess is supposed to be a callback from the movie Cape Fear. And we look up, and of course we can see a shadow of Joker laughing, holding a knife. So that's the cover for Endgame Part 4. Batman, of course, has rescued this boy, Duke. As I said, with the end of Part 3, a Joker, Joe Chill, tried to kill Duke and his family, but Batman stopped them, but Duke's parents turned into Joker zombie type of creatures, and Batman, of course, saved this kid, and he's using his bat glide, you know, bat suit to try to take this kid Duke to a safe place. However, we see, of course, with this panel that Joker has taken an axe and has driven it into Gordon's chest, and we can see Gordon is definitely dying. And Batman tries to console a dying Jim, and Jim, of course, gives his dialogue, "I got him, it doesn't make sense, must be a joke," because he got up just fine, but that shot, it wasn't a clown killer. You know, he's babbling and he's dead. I mean, you could definitely see the axe in the chest. Now, I don't know if this is an alternate storyline or not, but Gordon is pretty much dying, and he asks, Batman asks the kid whose name is Duke to go into Gordon's first aid kit to get a, you know, something to help. Duke, of course, is going back to his parents because he realized that his parents are turned into these Joker zombies, and Batman is telling him that he'll do everything he can to help his parents, but he's asking Duke to be a friend and to help him, you know, try to save Gordon. But then Gordon stands up, and apparently the axe did not kill him at all, and now he's kind of like a Joker type of, you know, zombie. But then all of a sudden Batman is able to put, well, I'm sorry, it's not Batman, one of Batman's friends, I forget her name, but she puts 2 tranquilizer darts to knock out. Anyway, they're trying to find whatever they can to cure Gordon. And then, of course, we get into more carnage, as Batman is trying to contact Nightwing, and Batman is trying to do what he can to salvage any information to get a cure for this virus that Joker, of course, has dispensed. But since most of Gotham is turned into these Joker zombies, they're chasing around with tanks, and there's an army, and there are all these different mutants. And meanwhile, Joker, somewhere in Gotham, is just in this bizarre swimsuit and goggles. I love these images, like, from a distance, just, like, swimming around with a big grin on his face. And eventually, as I said, towards the end, Batman confronts the Court of Owls, and pretty much ends with him saying, "All right, let's talk about history." We get another 8-panel story of the Pale Man. Again, could not get into it. Should, but I was not able to. So, could not tell you too much about Pale Man storyline. I'm sure I'll get back into it one day. So, all in all, what did I think of Endgame Parts 1 and 4 right now? Well, it's an interesting story. It may piss off some Batman fans because we don't know if we're getting a true origin for Joker or not, but I guess all good relationships come to an end, and I guess this is going to close the relationship between Batman and Joker. Now, I don't know if there'll be more Joker stories or not, but if it does end, at least it ends on a high note. So for all 4 issues right now, I am definitely going to be giving a solid 5 out of 5. I think this is a great story. I love the imagery. I love the panels. I especially love, with issue 3 right now, with the split panels with the Joker, Joe Chill, and a desperate Gordon trying to gun, you know, collect the sanity and finally having to gun down Joker. I love the images of the Joker zombies and the zombified Justice League. and Batman turning to the Court of Owls, which, again, as I said a million times, and I'll say it a million times more, I will go back and start to read that comic. So, again, thank you, one and all, for subscribing, listening to Hunnic Outcast. More to come. Got a lot going on for Season 2 and Season 3. We're going to be dedicating the entire season to the 80s. Now, there will also be some bonus podcasts here and there that will not be 80s related, but a good 99.9% of it, for argument's sake, will be dedicated to the 80s. So please feel free to visit us on facebook.com/HunnicOutcasts. We also have a group page, Hunnic Outcasts. My co-host Wyatt will be back with me very soon as we start delving more into Season 2 with The Great Dictator. Some more Godzilla movies are on its way. The original Power Rangers show, or the inspiration for the Power Rangers. I can't pronounce the title right now, but we do have a lot going on. And also, our Valentine's Day special, I will be discussing Batman, the comic book Mad Love, as well as the episode, another Harley Quinn episode, Two of a Kind, from the Batman animated series. With that said, I also would like to give a shout-out to some non-GeekCast radio podcast that I subscribe to. Now Playing, please subscribe to them and please support the show. I do believe they're going to be having another spring-summer donation this year. And also on February 17th at 9:30 Eastern Standard Time, they're going to be promoting their very first live podcast. They're going to be discussing the Kingsman Secret Service, followed by a Q&A session. So please check out the Now Playing podcast and their live show on February 17th, 2015. It is a 9:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time event. So please check out Now Playing. And of course, Two Dudes in an NES, Anything Ghost Show, the Arkham Sessions, the Batcave podcast, Dane and Jake Get Classy, Digital Drift, the Disney Story Origins podcast, Disney Film Project podcast, the Flophouse, the H.P. Lovecraft podcast, Kaiju Cast, of course, Marvelicious Toys, Masterpiece Cinema, Pop Culture Leftovers, Real Ghost Stories Online, Saturday Morning Rewind, Search for Schlock, and of course, Torgro's Pizzeria Podcast. These are all the non-GeekCast radio podcasts that I subscribe to. Please check them out. Again, as I said, leave any feedback at hunnicfeedback@gmail.com, or you can also find us on Twitter, Hunnic Outcast, Spreaker, Hunnic Outcast, iTunes, Hunnic Outcast, Tumblr, any social media, Hunnic Outcast. So until next time, Wyatt will be returning shortly, as well as Dane, Rachel, all the other co-hosts will be coming back very, very soon. So until then, follow my lead, recite my creed, and smile, darn you, smile.
Say, Jarvis, is it that time?
The house party protocol, sir?
Correct.
The Pull Bag is GCRN's comic book review and discussion-based podcast. Join me, your host, TFG and Mike, and the rest of the GCRN crew as we make our way through the comics we are reading. Inside the Pull Bag, you'll also find back-issue classics and origins episodes of how we got into comic reading. You can find the Pull Bag every Wednesday on iTunes and on www.geekcastradio.com. Make your great escape into comics and jump into the Pull Bag today.
Jarvis. Hey.
All wrapped up here, sir. Will there be anything else?
Is this thing on? Oh, goody. Why, hello there. It's your devolved Uncle Joker here. I bet you're asking yourself, what could I be possibly doing here, of all places? Well, I'm laughing at the fact that this new podcast presented by GeekCast Radio is called Legends of the Dark Knight. Who the heck knew the Bat was so popular? Ugh! Join Steve, Mike, and sometimes Tara for reviews on the greatest DC animated universe cartoon to ever meet Gotham City. So join moi for the talk of the town, or I'll send Captain Cloud after you. He gets mighty angry when he doesn't get to have his garbage skull. So put on a nice big smile and join us for the next Geekcast Radio Network podcast, Legends of the Dark Knight.
I don't think this one's cared about anything for a long time.
Guess crazy has its moments. Guy doesn't even sweat. Look at him.
You look at him. He makes me sick.
I know that sounds confusing to the layman, so let me explain. You see, it all comes down to this Batman fellow. His psycho-erotic behavior is like a net, trapping weak-minded neurotics like Harvey, drawing them into corresponding intersecting patterns. You could say Batman creates his own enemies, committing the crimes using his so-called villains as narcissistic proxies. In other words, the real villain here is Batman.
Exactly as I warned, the Batman has infected the minds of Gotham's youth, poisoned these so-called sons of Batman with an insidious excuse for the most violently antisocial behavior.
Batman? I'm tired of hearing about him. Why can't he just let things go the way the rest of us do? We count too.
So a bunch of psychopaths turn on criminals instead of the rest of us, and you want to blame Batman? I say more power to them.
Do not expect any further statements. The sons of Batman do not make speeches. We act. Gotham City belongs to the Batman.
Batman. Darling.